Our service this week will begin with the customary 2-minute silence in respect and remembrance of those who have laid down their lives in war. They shall not grow old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun, and in the morning, we will remember them. Our opening words are by Cliff Reid. We gather to share our faith in the spirit of freedom, our doubts in the spirit of honesty. We gather to focus our love in prayer, to send it to those who suffer and grieve, in our own community and in the wider world. We gather to strengthen the good that is in us, that goodness may be stronger on the earth. We gather to worship. I'm going to light our chalice now, again using some words by Cliff Reid. Out of the fires of war, let us kindle the chalice of peace. Out of the fury of battle, let us create a passion for peace. Out of the turmoil of conscience, let us weave the calm of peace. In the one spirit that we share, let us celebrate the vision of a world made just and free, and find the strength to build it, a little at a time. Let us join in the fellowship of prayer. Spirit of life and love, be with us as we gather for worship, each in our own place. Help us to feel a sense of community, even though we are physically apart. Help us to care for each other in this world in which COVID has not yet gone away, and the clouds of war and climate change overshadow us. May we keep in touch however we can, and help each other however we may. Help us to be grateful for the freedoms we have, and to respect the wishes of others. May we hold in our hearts all those who are grieving, lost, alone, suffering in any way. Amen. Our story this morning is called King Asoka's Repentance. Victorious, but with a heavy heart, King Asoka looked out over the battlefield of Kalinga, a kingdom he would now annex to form his vast empire. He was the third emperor of the Maurya dynasty, and he ruled most of the Indian subcontinent. Asoka was moved to deep sorrow by the carnage he had inflicted, and the sight of 100,000 dead and 150,000 taken into captivity. In his meditation on the horror of what he saw, he mentioned the burning stick of anger that his Buddhist tradition warned against holding. Asoka spent the rest of his life teaching that insight into oneself and respect for others were the essence of both religion and politics. He ordered his life, his royal household, and his kingdom by the Buddhist precepts of loving kindness, compassion, empathic joy, and equanimity. Edicts conveying these truths were carved in stone and placed throughout the kingdom. Asoka's reign reflected his belief that moral practice could be elevated through meditation and insight. A change of heart can change the course of a life and of history. It can move us to erect noble tablets at the borders of all we say and do. May it be so. I invite you now to join with me, if you wish, in this alternative version of the Lord's Prayer. Spirit of life and love, here and everywhere, may we be aware of your presence in our lives. May our world be blessed. May our daily needs be met, and may our shortcomings be forgiven, as we forgive those of others. Give us the strength to resist wrongdoing, the inspiration and guidance to do right, and the wisdom to know the difference. We are your hands in the world. Help us to grow. May we have compassion for all living beings and receive whatever life brings with courage and trust. Amen. Our next reading is by Frank Walker from the Peace Fellowship publication, Voices Speaking Peace. We remember at this time, especially all those suffering in the fighting in Gaza and Israel, and in the Ukraine. We pray for an end to the conflict, and for a change in people's hearts, so that they shall work together for a just and lasting peace. We remember all those who have lost children, parents, relatives and friends in the fighting, who are full of grief and sorrow. Give them strength to find the ways that reconcile and heal. We remember all the victims of war and violence the world over, in the Yemen, in Ethiopia, in Burkina Faso, in Libya, in Iran, Iraq and the Persian Gulf, in North Korea and in Kashmir, to name but a few. We remember all those falsely and unjustly imprisoned on account of their political and religious beliefs, and we pray for their deliverance, that even in their time of suffering, the fruits of the Spirit will grow richly within them. We pray for all those who are working for the comfort and release of prisoners of conscience. We remember all who are working in the United Nations and in its specialized agencies for the health and healing of the nations. Especially we pray for all those working in the United Nations for disarmament, and for the constructive, peaceful use of human talents and the world's wealth. We remember all in positions of power and responsibility, those in government who take decisions that affect the lives of millions. We pray that they shall feel as a great creative force the longing of people everywhere for peace. We pray that they shall seek not the way of pride and vainglory and purely selfish advantage, but seek the ways that reconcile and build up the common good of all peoples. Let us join once more in the fellowship of prayer. Spirit of life and love, known by many names and none, we gather in thankful remembrance of those who have sacrificed their lives for the freedom and safety of others, but also in shame at the wars we have failed to stop and the actions taken in our name. Bless those who mourn and those whose lives are blighted by such terrible memories, be they military or civilian. Bless those who carry the scars of war with them for the rest of their lives, and those who care for them. Bless those whose safety is currently compromised through war and violence at this time, no matter where in the world. May forgiveness be found, personally and nationally, that all can learn to live in peace. We acknowledge that death recognizes not the color of uniform, nor the age or gender of victim. That death and destruction come because of our failure, our greed, our indifference. Let us dedicate ourselves to the greatest remembrance of all, that war should be no more, for a future to be possible. May our prayers be heard. Amen. Our final reading is a poem or hymn by John Andrew Story. In this age of warring madness, in this century of strife, was the face of pity hidden, that we failed to cherish life? Mercy, were you there at Flanders, or our bloodbath on the Somme? Were you there at Nagasaki, when we dropped the atom bomb? You were there, your gentle pleadings fell on ears grown deaf with pride. Hatred reigned and bloodlust triumphed. Hearts were stone and pity died. Love, constrain us, guide us, train us. Purge all hearts until wars cease. Make us one in true compassion and compatriots in peace. I invite you now into a time of stillness and reflection, to find a position in which it is comfortable for you to sit, so that you are able to sense the presence of the Spirit among us and around us, across the miles and across the technology. There will be some words, there will be a time of silence, then a few more words. Be gentle with one another. The cry comes out of the hurting heart of humanity. It comes from the lives of those battered with thoughtless words and brutal deeds. It comes from the lips of those who speak them, and the lives of those who do them. Be gentle with one another. Who can look inside another and know what is there of hope and hurt, or promise and pain? Who can know from what far places each has come, or to what far places each may hope to go? Our lives are like fragile eggs. They are brittle. They crack, and the substance escapes. Handle with care. Handle with exceeding tender care. For there are human beings there within, human beings vulnerable as we are vulnerable, who feel as we feel, who hurt as we hurt. Let us ponder these things in the silence. Life is too transient to be cruel with one another. It is too short for thoughtlessness, too brief for hurting. Life is long enough for caring. It is lasting enough for sharing, precious enough for love. Be gentle with one another. Let's have some music. I'd like to start this Remembrance Sunday address by repeating some of the words of the prayer by Unitarian minister Chris Gocher, which I used towards the beginning of the service. We gather in thankful remembrance of those who have sacrificed their lives for the freedom and safety of others, but also in shame at the wars we have failed to stop, and the actions taken in our name. Let us dedicate ourselves to the greatest remembrance of all, that war should be no more. These few words really sum up what I want to say today. That we should be grateful to and remember with respect those who sacrifice their lives that we might have peace. But also in sad reflection on the indifferent use we have made of it. It is a desperate irony that World War I was called the war to end all wars. And yet, more than 100 years on, humankind still seems unable to stop the fighting, the bloodshed, the cruelty. And wars continue to be fought the world over for reasons of fear and misunderstanding, the hunger for power and the despising of the other. So how can we dedicate ourselves to that greatest remembrance of all, that war should be no more? How can we, as individuals and as Unitarian communities, witness for peace? How can we do our bit? How can we make a difference? I don't find it at all straightforward, this witnessing for peace. The words of Ryan Dueck, the Mennonite pastor, ring uneasily true for me. He asks questions that we need to answer. He writes, "Am I a pacifist? Well, yeah, I guess so. But what does it even mean for me, a middle-class white Canadian whose experience has never even remotely been affected by war, to say this? I am anti-war. Okay, fine. I am also anti-cancer, anti-poverty, anti-racism, and, well, just generically, anti-bad things happening in the world. So what? Who cares about my shiny ideological artifacts, shaped and preserved in a vacuum of privilege? Ouch. It is only too easy for privileged Westerners such as myself to be anti-everything when I have never been directly affected by it. There are still people living, such as my father, whose life was directly affected by war, who grew up in World War II, who did his 2 years national service, and whose views on war and peace are very different to mine. He used to lead the British Legion's annual service of remembrance in Rugeley to a congregation of 700 or 800. I cannot help respecting his witness that war, particularly World War II, was necessary to counteract a greater evil, that of Nazism. So like Ryan Dueck, I am torn. I do have days where I think Jesus can have his precious peace, because it doesn't work in a world like ours. Days where I think that for the sake of the innumerable innocent victims of the violent whims of men, Jesus has no right to demand it of us. Days when I try to look at the world through the lenses of other people. People who have lived their whole lives looking over the fence of my privilege. People who are not afforded the luxury of theorizing or theologizing about peace and violence. And it just doesn't fit. And it makes me angry. Angry with myself for not appreciating their points of view. Angry with our privileged Western society, whose government seemed to reach for war as the go-to solution for all international crises. Angry with the arms trade, making money out of the misery of both sides of every conflict. Angry with the Western media, whipping up suspicion and fear of the very small minority of militant Muslims, to such an extent that the moderate, peaceful majority are hounded and attacked on the streets of this country, which turns their young men into understandably easy pickings for the propaganda of such evil organizations as Islamic State. Angry. But what does this accomplish? Nothing. Again, like Dweck, I do not believe that war is the answer. As he remarks wryly, war has not accomplished much. To almost no one's surprise, freedom and democracy, those wonderful words we love to throw around, have not been realized through violence. Shocker, I know. Violence breeds violence. It always has, and it always will. Even World War II, which started out as a just war, rapidly escalated into violence against innocent civilians, with mass bombings of cities on all sides, culminating in the twin horrors of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Ah, it's hard to be proud of being human sometimes. Once again, I ask the questions. How can we dedicate ourselves to that greatest remembrance of all, that war should be no more? How can we, as individuals and as Unitarian communities, witness for peace? How can we do our bit? How can we make a difference? I think we have to start where we are. It's all about compassion, trying to empathize with other people by imagining ourselves in their shoes. Pretty darn difficult, I know. The Syrian refugees seem to have gone out of the news for now. But a young friend of my daughter's, who was on the ground in the refugee camps in Calais, working for Calais Action a few years ago, shared on Facebook a Reuters report, ironically posted from Arras, France, about the conditions there. She commented, 6,000 people living in squalor on our doorstep, and the bad weather has already begun. The Reuters report said that thousands fleeing war and poverty in Africa and the Middle East live in a so-called jungle of camps in Calais, and have tried repeatedly to enter Britain by jumping onto lorries, hiding on trains, and walking through the tunnel in the hope of better lives there than in continental Europe. 16 of them have died in the attempt. And of course today, people from South America are trying their best to reach the promised land of the United States. And so many people from Gaza have had to flee their homes in recent weeks, their fate uncertain. The Somali poet Warsan Shear wrote a shocking and almost unbearably poignant poem in 2017 called Home, which may give us just a taste of what it is like to be a refugee, choiceless, helpless. No one leaves home unless home is the mouth of a shark. You only run for the border when you see the whole city running as well. Your neighbours running faster than you, breath bloody in their throats. The boy you went to school with, who kissed you dizzy behind the old tin factory, is holding a gun bigger than his body. You only leave home when home won't let you stay. No one leaves home unless home chases you. Fire under feet, hot blood in your belly. It's not something you ever thought of doing until the blade burnt threats into your neck. And even then, you carried the anthem under your breath, only tearing up your passport in an airport toilet, sobbing as each mouthful of paper made it clear that you wouldn't be going back. You have to understand that no one puts their children in a boat unless the water is safer than the land. No one burns their palms under trains, beneath carriages. No one spends days and nights in the stomach of a truck, feeding on newspaper, unless the miles travelled mean something more than journey. No one crawls under fences. No one wants to be beaten, pitied. No one chooses refugee camps or strip searches where your body is left aching, or prison, because prison is safer than a city of fire. And one prison guard in the night is better than a truckload of men who look like your father. No one could take it. No one could stomach it. No one skin would be tough enough. I want to go home, but home is the mouth of a shark. Home is the barrel of a gun. And no one would leave home unless home chased you to the shore. Unless home told you to quicken your legs, leave your clothes behind, crawl through the desert, wade through the ocean, drown, save, be hungry, beg, forget pride. Your survival is more important. no one leaves home. Unless home is a sweaty voice in your ear saying, leave, run away from me now. I don't know what I've become. But I know that anywhere is safer than here. I would like you all to stop and think for a moment about how desperate you would have to be to leave everyone and everything you know in the slim hope of a better life in a foreign land. I am not naive enough to believe that we can make it all better by witnessing for peace and compassion. But we can at least try to be compassionate where we are. I would like to finish by repeating part of the beautiful anonymous poem which formed the background to our time of stillness and reflection. Be gentle with one another. The cry comes out of the hurting heart of humanity. It comes from the lives of those battered with thoughtless words and brutal deeds. It comes from the lips of those who speak them, and the lives of those who do them. Be gentle with one another. Life is too transient to be cruel with one another. It is too short for thoughtlessness, too brief for hurting. Life is long enough for caring. It is lasting enough for sharing, precious enough for love. Be gentle with one another. May it be so, now and in the days and months ahead. Amen. Benediction by John Carter. Our time together is ended. We have heard that ancient call to be a people united in love, in peace, in joy. To be a people of vision, seeing a world where peace and justice rule, where all are welcomed and celebrated, where love governs. We have heard this vision, and now we go forth to make it our reality. Amen. We'll finish with some music.